Hi, I'm Matthew Carlock, and this is Sleep Deprived Storytime, where I talk about my incredibly exhausting yet ultimately rewarding experiences of being a parent. Let's get into it. Welcome back, friends, family, neighbors, randos on the internet. Today, I am talking with two returning fans, guests, Nessa and Becca. Say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
We're your fan, though, Matt. It's okay to say that.
Yeah, that's just like my mom says I'm cool, kind of. So, we're all nice and far apart, and these two delightful friends have decided to let me annoy them because they've been stuck being sick.
Yep. Quarantine right. Is so fun.
I'm not a fan of my boss.
Which, we won't go into that because we don't know if they'll just come across this one day. So this actually kind of leads into it nicely. I want the topic to be about today, about lying to our kids. We do it.
Mm-hmm. Quite willingly.
Yeah, super willingly.
With some ease.
Yeah, but something that like I came across an article or some kind of post, and it was talking about like the latest batch of Pixar movies or whatever else, and they're focusing on the directors and the story, and it's like, hey guys, these are all stories about parents who have apologized to their kids for causing them to have trauma. And all of the directors are millennials. And it was like Turning Red, the Emotions movie, whatever the hell that one was.
In and Out.
Yeah. And then like two
Inside.
Or three. Inside Out.
Yeah.
In and
there
Out.
You
yeah.
go.
Yeah, like the latest like rash of them are all like, you know, parents apologizing. I think that Far and Away one, the with the orcs and elves or whatever, was like that as well.
Yeah, Onward.
Onward, there you go. That was just like, yeah, man. We want parents to acknowledge that they're not omnipotent.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with when they lie. And then we became parents, and now we lie all the time. What are you guys' favorite lies for your kids that you tell them willingly?
Honestly, it's things like when we want Lily to have the weekend and be able to stay up late. You know, we'll tell a little white lie to Benjamin, and we'll just say, yeah, Lily's going to bed too, so, you know, you got to get into bed. And he'll fall asleep, and then we'll be like, okay, Lil, you can come back out in the living room and have a... Yeah, little white lies like that. You know, you don't realize they're lies until you think about it, but, you know, they are. I'm trying to think.
Oh, you don't lie to your kids.
My brain just literally, like, blanked. Because some of the lies
brain.
I tell, I'm not going to admit to, because I'll get in trouble with some other people.
You know, another good one, and one that I will willingly share, it's something that my mom did for me, and when I became a parent, or a grown-up, really, and I was like, oh my god, she was lying this whole time, but that was genius, is the tooth fairy, mm-hmm. not necessarily about the taking the tooth and giving you money or a little toy or something, but Halloween candy. You never would put two and two together, but she would say, okay, take 10 candies and then the rest just put in a bag by your bed. The tooth fairy will thank you so much for taking good care of your teeth. She'll replace all that candy and give you a toy instead. And the next morning I would wake up with a toy after I'd picked out my 10 candies that I wanted and the rest were given to the tooth fairy. And it's genius. And I do that with my kids now.
I've never heard that. That is kind of like insanely evil genius. I'm not, I like it, but at the same time, I'm like, I remember hoarding my candy and loving that so much. But then again, I do have like a mouthful of cavities. So.
Okay.
Although I will admit, when you said like, my mom lied to me, the tooth fairy, and you're like, you just said you were adult and you realized this, and I got really worried there.
It's like that TikTok. I was 30 years old.
Yeah.
No, I was much younger. Poor phrasing.
Yeah. So my one of the biggest lies that I tell Malcolm, or we tell Malcolm. And, you know, they're so intuitive and smart. I don't know if he realizes it. He might just be playing along. Mm. But whether he is or not, we still tell him it every day. And we will admit it, and we will, like, tell him that, yes, this is the way it goes, is that the TV cannot work while there's toys on the floor.
Ah.
It just simply won't work. And I've picked up the remote and, like, done the, like, mimed it, like, oh, it's not turning on. Oh, there's toys on the floor, kid. And I mean,
I wish I had thought of that before.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like Race and Arden both, mind you. Mm-hmm. One reads at a fair, like, it's at the beginning of a first grade level, mm-hmm. and the other one doesn't read, and they both can work a remote and find exactly what they want on the TV.
Yeah.
So they have outsmarted me.
I do that though for some things, Cocomelon being one of them. Ooh. Where I'll just tell Benjamin, I'm sorry, but Cocomelon's not on anymore. We can't watch it. And he will willingly accept watching something else, thank goodness.
We did that with the Pink Fong and Baby Shark for a while there, but then Netflix had to go blow up our spot and like make it one of the featured things again, and it's like, you jerk.
Okay, I gotta lie.
What do you got?
All right, I used to tell this to Reese, and I had just begun to tell it to Arden. So potty training, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pooping, it's the worst, right?
Yeah.
Especially for little boys, because they don't sit down for everything. Like if, well, one of my
there's only two things,
the other one sits for everything. But you know, having to explain, I finally had to tell Arden, and I used to tell Reese this too when he was constipated and he just wouldn't try. I tell him to push their belly button because that's the button that helps to tell your bum to go poop. And it's funny now. Because Race would do it, and then, you know, miraculously he'd figure out, you know, that whole strain push and it comes out. Yeah. Arden will push it and look at me and say, "It's not working." I'm done. I'm like, just sit for a minute, try again. You gotta push the button so you can push. And nope, it's not working.
All right, Nessa.
Yeah.
Are you with me on this one? I don't think that's a lie.
I really. It's hard to say that it's a lie because it's not helping them, I guess, if you will. It's helping them. And technically, all that area has to do, like, you know, your diaphragm and your intestines. It is helping it. So in a very general way.
But when you explain it to them as it's a magical button that'll make you go poop.
Well, they have to have more concrete ways of thinking about these things when they're that age in order for them to get the hang of it.
It's always the classic.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I think that's borderline. That's more like telling them something to help them. Like, I think
isn't so much lying as it's just a helpful tool.
There you go.
Like
to help them figure out the mechanics.
There you go. Well, I was going to use the example when I was younger, you know, thunder kind of scared us because Texas has terrible thunderstorms.
Yes.
And my mom would use the whole, you know, like, oh, it's just angels bowling.
Oh, yeah. I heard that one.
And I knew that wasn't what was happening. I seen the Magic School Bus. I knew what thunder was. Okay. Magic School Bus doesn't lie to you, okay? A magic bus can fly around the sky and tell you about science.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was comforting. It was like you were saying, Nessa, it's a concrete thing for me to hold on to make sense of what's happening around. So I wouldn't say that that's a lie, because it was just one of those, like, oh, those are just angels bowling. And I was like, oh, that's so comforting to think of that, rather than like the exchange of electrons causing an explosion in the sky. okay, so we tell our kids these lies, and we have the little white ones, like Santa, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy.
Is that a lie or is that imagination?
See, yeah, that's the same. That's what I was kind of going with, right? They're concrete things for our kids to like latch onto, right?
Exactly.
I don't think it's so much concrete things for our kids to latch onto, but the way I always kind of see it, because you know, sometimes for the more straight and narrow, in the box, not outside of the box thinking, I'm like, that just gives kids the ability to keep a little whimsy in their life, because I honestly don't see
some magic. Yeah.
Because, man, life sucks as an adult. I try and have a little magic in my heart, but it's just not happening.
Although I will say, allowing our kids to have that magic makes it that much more special for me, and I feel like I've brought some of that magic back. I feel like when I was a teenager living at home, getting presents and blah blah blah, you know, the magic of the season kind of dissipated, because you know, it wasn't about the Santa anymore or Easter Bunny or whatever. But I feel like it came back again after having kids and after seeing their surprise and they're, as they're opening their gifts, thanking Santa. You know, it felt like it was back. I don't know if it meant that way to y'all, but I definitely felt that all over again.
I can get on board with that. I like super young age, I was like, I understand that this is a metaphor. Mm-hmm. I my mom explained it very, very young. Like, you guys know my stance on most religion things. And that came from parenting. It was like, these are stories and metaphors to help people understand and to bring comfort. And going in with Malcolm, we weren't going to push the Santa thing, because, you know, we're your token East Coast liberal friends over here. And we're like, I mean, when you break it down to it, it is kind of a lie. There's someone watching you. Don't be bad, because this person is going to either bring you or not bring you gifts. And that's the crux of it, even though I don't think that's what people our generation are doing. I don't think we're using it as a threat. I don't think I've heard anyone use it as a threat against my kid or us, my grandparents or his grandparents. Mm-hmm. Aunts and uncles, no one has said, better be good or Santa won't bring you gifts.
You don't live in Texas anymore.
I was about to say, but all those relatives do live in Texas, and they're not saying that.
You know, though, I mean, I use Santa as a weapon of mass destruction.
Okay.
But I qualify that in that it's not one of those where I'm like, he's watching you, he knows what you're doing. It's like, ready, pull up this phone and call Santa. Because I will, yeah.
Yeah,
and I will tell him he doesn't need to buy you, or he doesn't need to make you this, or he doesn't need to do that, or you know, mm-hmm. just forget about it. You just need a lump of coal in your stocking. But I don't make it.
You need a little bit of Kingsford.
Yeah, it's a little bit of leverage, you know, because you know we don't pull out the big guns until you absolutely need to use them. So Santa is definitely a big gun. Because the moment that you use it for everything, it becomes diminished. So, you know.
Okay, so like you guys have the older kids, so maybe that's what it is. Maybe you're dealing with something that's like, I might come across 3 years down the line. Would you say that you started using it as big guns when Lily and Race were older?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So maybe I'll come across that. Because initially, right now, we didn't want to push it, but Santa is everywhere. And Malcolm came home and was like, Santa gonna bring me presents? And we're like, yeah. And and we got into it. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But then that makes me wonder, though, like Nessa was saying, like Becca, like you agree, it had this like magical quality to it, and I loved it. I mean, I love it. I don't mind talking about Santa with my kid. Right?
I think it too, like, it's the great anticipation. Mm-hmm. And it's that, like, you know, it's that thing to hope and, you know, work for, and just because it's almost like loosely, like, I don't know, applying it to as an adult. And if you're working in a job that's like commission based, or you're working towards that bonus or that next like promotion or something, that next like big thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to remind yourself, okay, motivate it, like mm-hmm. keep it going. And, you know, for kids, to me, their job is to be a kid, to have whimsy, to not worry about the stressors of the world. That's my job as your parent. Your job is to just not realize that there are things out there that can, you know, obviously be aware. I'm making this more generalized when I say yeah. this. So
sure.
Any of those crazy liberals out there, it's just, you know, like, but you know, you shouldn't have to worry about the things that are out there. You shouldn't be worried about, you know, the boogeyman or anything like that. You should just be excited and hopeful, and your reward is what Santa brings you for Christmas, or what the Easter Bunny brings you at Easter or something, or what the Tooth Fairy brings you for being so good and brushing your teeth and making them all nice and pearly white. Like, you're doing your little things that you need to do in order to advance in your job or to get that bonus from your job.
And that'll do it for part one of this three-part series. Didn't mean for it to be a three-part series, but what are you gonna do? So until next time, get some sleep. That's exactly right. I talk through it. You've heard the stories.
I want the story to be about Jupiter.
Okay. The planet, right?
Yeah.
Okay. One day, Jupiter, the big gas planet, was feeling a little blue. It seemed that all the other planets weren't appreciating what he did for them in the solar system. Mercury thought that he was nowhere near as cool and big as the sun, which is true. But the sun was only, I think, bigger than Jupiter. Venus and Earth thought that Jupiter was very pompous. Mars was always trying to pick fights with him. Saturn would never... This is a weird story. I'm going to start all over. Okay. Jupiter. The planet Jupiter. One day, Jupiter woke up to find a big red spot on his face. "What's this big spot I got here?" he said out loud. Saturn took off one of his rings and used it as a magnifying glass and looked closer and said, "Oh, yeah, I've seen those spots before, Jupiter." "You have? Where?" "Over there. Neptune and Uranus. They got them a couple of times." "Well, what is it?" "Storms, I'm afraid," said Saturn. "A storm? On my planet?" "Yep, looks like a pretty big one, too." "Well, how do I get rid of this storm?" "Nothing you can do about it, just gotta..."
"Well, but storms live on the planet Jupiter."
"Yeah." Jupiter was very sad, so he asked Uranus and Neptune what they did about their storms. Neptune was too far away to hear and was very, very cold, and their teeth were chittering the whole time, going, "I don't know," because they're so cold. Neptune said that the storms came and went, and that there was nothing really to worry about. And so Jupiter took a deep breath to try and relax. Thank you. It was going to pass, no big deal. But year after year after year, the storm stayed there. What are you going to do about that storm? Said Mars. I don't know. I guess it's just going to be a part of me from now on. Earth, who was still forming, was kind of jealous and said, boy, I wish I could have storms like that. Jupiter said, no, you don't. They would stay on my face. It stays there and never goes away. Venus said that they constantly had storms, but none of them that made its surface look anywhere near like Jupiter's. And the sun just kept shining on. And Mercury said that they never had storms either. Well, year after year, decades turned into hundreds of years, and the storm never went away. It seemed that there was nothing there to stop it from moving. Then, one day, a tiny little speck flew off of Earth. Mars looked down and said, hey, Earth, what's that coming off of you? Earth said, oh, that's just my people. People? All the planets said, yeah, my people. Don't you guys have people? They all shook their heads. I'm the only one with people? Oh, my. I what's going to happen? All the other planets didn't know. No one had ever seen people like that before. It was very, very weird. Venus started taking a closer look at Earth, but they couldn't really get too close to Earth. In fact, Venus had a hard time doing anything. It was so hot. Venus asked everyone else how they dealt with the heat so much, and everyone else just kind of shrugged. Their planets didn't get as hot as Venus. Or their surfaces, whatever. Mercury was spinning around so fast he couldn't hear anyone. Mars had so much dust everywhere that he had a hard time seeing. The rings around Saturn kept flipping and spinning around. Uranus tipped over on its side and was rolling about. It seemed that all the planets had something big and special and unique about them. When they started talking about their unique traits, Jupiter realized that the big storm wasn't so bad. It was another thing that just made him special and unique. And he was very happy to have it. And the storm is still going on today. The end.
Yeah, because storms live on the planet Jupiter.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, please like, share, review, do the social media thing. A big shout out to my friend Albert Maldonado for engineering the sound to perfection. If you'd like to follow me on social media, you can follow me on Instagram at KCLORACM, that's Colrac M, or on Twitter at Colrac, KCLORAC. Thanks. See you next time.